the struggle that a lot of pastors really are missing that time in prayer and in the Word, which is the very exact reason in Acts that the deacons became a thing.
I think what was the distinguishing thing that's really coming out with what you just said, I think, is the difference between a corporate mentality and a difference between a Titus 2 mentality. Is that so? Titus 2 is all about making sure that you're passing down this information, that you're growing. There's this whole waterfall of generational growth and knowledge being passed down along the way naturally in the church, and how discipleship and mentorship happens, versus a corporate mentality, which is very much what you described at the beginning. Like, I'm not good at this. You are. I'm hiring you to do this very specific thing. And like you said, that's not necessarily wrong, but if the intention is I don't have to grow because you're here doing the thing, versus, hey, you are uniquely gifted and have a background that nobody else has, and you can deliver, you know, some really good resources and knowledge to the body, versus I don't want to deal with this, so you just do it. And I think that's the difference between the corporate mentality and really what the church is supposed to be doing. And whenever you have churches that get a little too corporatized, I think that's where you have a teaching pastor that literally doesn't know his people, because the communications pastor does all that, or the small groups pastor is the one that covers all that. And you don't ever see the teaching pastor except on a screen sometimes or whatever. That's all. The only interaction you have is he's on a stage somewhere and I never really talk to him or see him. But I know, like, Jim over here, but Jim's never on the stage. And so I think that's where, again, when you're talking about qualifications for overseers and elders, like, all of these things are important for that elder to have. He's not going to be great at all of them. He's not going to be a rock star at all of them. Obviously, this is the whole why you have multiple elders, or why that's really important, is so that your gift set can be utilized well for the body, but you're still growing in that, versus you're just so, like, just cubed into this is your thing. Don't worry about anything else. And that's where I think, like, the body starts falling apart, because you're not you're just here. Don't worry about doing anything else. Whereas a very Titus 2 mentality is, like, so broad in the sense of, like, so Paul's thing to Titus is have older men teach younger men self-control. And you're like, one thing is, like, well, that one thing kind of covers everything. So, like have that really go through the whole body of, like, all of this, you said, this knowledge that this person's accumulated, not only in 50 years of marriage, but however long he's been alive, is going to be able to speak into you and give you knowledge, so that later on, one, if you come across those, you already have some sort of framework, some sort of guidance to work with that situation, but also the people that come behind you are benefiting not only from your knowledge of the situation, but his knowledge of the situation. And this is where I think, like, all of this kind of, again, I do seem totally off from the initial topic, but as a pastor, leaning into some of the things you're not good at by sort of leaning on some people that are good at those is really, I think, big picture. What you see here is that isn't just helping you as a pastor, that's helping the entire congregation, because you've intentionally leaned into things you're not good at so that you can get good at them. And you've learned that from people that are good at them for the benefit of the entire body. And I think that's where, like you said at the beginning, this sort of goes outside of just the pastor. This could apply to everyone, whether they're in the body or in their corporate job or in their day-to-day, even family life. And this is what I said before. I'm not naturally empathetic, but I've learned how to be more empathetic from my wife and having to deal with, you know, my kids that have totally different personalities than I do. And so you learn that for the benefit of the people around you. And I think that's, again, where it's more of a general application. But as a pastor, purposefully leaning into and intentionally leaning into the things you're not good at by learning from the people that are helps everybody at the end of the day, instead of just pegging yourself into one and trying to hire everybody else for all the other stuff.
Yeah. And I think another thing that is that's necessary, well, I guess two things that go hand in hand, really, is in recognizing that I'm not good at this or that, or there's an embarrassing amount of room for growth in this thing or that thing. I think by nature of the gospel that unites us, we have to learn to show ourselves grace in those things as well. And not destroy yourself for 2 weeks mentally and spiritually and emotionally. Because you failed to do this or to act on that the way that you wanted to, or this counseling session, you should have done this differently. Or, I mean, there are any number of things that might fit with what you're preaching, if that's not your gift, right? And you can, frankly, if it is your gift and you bomb, or you go up there and you say some things that it just doesn't click with anyone, and afterward you're like, well, no wonder it didn't click with anyone. That was stupid, you know?
What pastor hasn't like, had Monday morning where they're like, well, I'm done. I quit. Never doing that again.
I know of none, actually. But I think it's really important to show yourself grace in that. If your heart is truly in being intentional about growing in those areas, and you truly are attempting it, and you truly are studying and training as best you can from the Word first and foremost, but even from other, I mentioned Irv and Marty earlier because they're people that I watch to grow in some areas. And so but you have to be willing to show yourself grace. And if you're like me and Sunday really wears you out, but just because of the overstimulated amount of relational things, then it's also necessary to plan time to come down from that, and maybe spend some intentional and extra time in the Word and in prayer and just with the, so I come in here, you see the light behind me. That's one of three lights that I have in here. And sometimes I come in here and shut the door and lock it and turn my lights out and turn a couple of these other lights on. And I just sit in here pretty much in the dark and do my devotions and just try to have time with God that is not about this job, that is just about me and God. And if I didn't do that, this would just be a job. It would just be something that I force myself to do on a weekly basis. Because I know that there are things that I need to do in this role to be an effective minister to these people that I'm not good at or that I'm not natural at. And it wears on you. It wears you out. And so if there's no rejuvenating, from your own private life, your own time with God, then it's no wonder you might run head first into burnout as a pastor or have to switch churches every 4 years because it's just too much and you need something new and they need something new because they recognize that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's no longevity in that.
No, I think this is perfect to sort of kind of start closing out this podcast with, or this sort of topic on. Because those two things that you said, I think, are incredibly helpful. One, showing yourself grace is amazing. And having people around you that are able to tell you that when you don't want to hear it. There was a sermon I preached, it was two sermons ago. And it was terrible. I thought it was absolutely trash. And my pastor texted me and he was like, hey, great job. And I texted back and I was like, no, it was terrible. It was absolutely the worst sermon ever. I said, I don't think I got any of like the points across that I wanted to. And what he said was really helpful. He goes like, even if it was as bad as you think it is, somebody got something from that you don't even know. And so one, it wasn't as bad as you think it is, but even if it was as bad as you thought it was, God's going to use even that to do what he needs to do. And so I think one, it was nice that he kind of dueled that a little bit where it was like, it wasn't, but even if it was, it's still not the end of the world. Learn from it and get better from it and do better next time. And I think sometimes we really need to remind ourselves of that. Like one, like you said, we're probably in our heads making it way worse than it was. That counseling session was not a dumpster fire like you thought it was. That sermon wasn't as terrible as you thought it was. But even if it was that bad. Show yourself some grace, learn from it, don't dwell in it, and just do better. What was terrible? Fine. Fix that for next time. Learn from the thing that you think was so bad and do it different next time. Learn from it. Don't dwell in it and just completely bury yourself in depression on it, because you can't change it. There's nothing you can do to go back in time to change it, so just do better next time on it. And secondly, I think that ties into what you said on that burnout piece. Not only, I think, obviously, there's a huge issue with pastors and burnout. I think primarily because a lot of pastors don't do what you just talked about and say, like, I just need my Bible time. Like, that doesn't have anything to do with sermon prep, doesn't have anything to do with prepping for a counseling session, doesn't have anything to do with prepping for this thing that a verse somebody needs to hear about and I need to study on it. Just me reading the Bible, like that, being in prayer just for you. And I think that part is where if you don't do that, it can become I checked the boxes for this week. I've done the thing I had to do. I'm going to go home and I'm just going to shut my brain off because that's all I have left. And I think for pastors, obviously, that's a huge issue. But secondly, I think for Christians, sometimes that can be a thing too, to where it becomes I have to do this and not I get to do this or I want to do this. And so for pastors, I think one, it can lead to burnout and a whole, again, if a pastor burns out, that affects the whole church. But even for believers, yep. if it's an issue where you're just like, I have to do this, so I'm doing this, I think obviously that can lead to somebody, all sorts of things, sometimes at the worst case scenario, them just leaving the church altogether because they're like, this is just all about doing this thing and I don't want to do this thing anymore. And even in those situations, I think obviously those people need to hear maybe from their pastor, maybe from people in their small groups, like, show yourself some grace. Like, this is not like Jesus mm-hmm. loves you. He saved you, not because you do all of this, but because he wanted to. And so knowing that, and then hopefully this is the last thing I have to say before we sort of close it out. I think intentionally building in, and I cannot brag on Nia, is her name. She leads our children's ministry enough because she has intentionally built into Sunday morning, the children's ministry, to where every week it's a rotating list of people. So you're not doing it every single week. You have 1 week of the month. Sometimes you can actually rotate out to where you're not there for a whole month and then you rotate back in. But the point is, you're part of the body. You're hearing the sermons. You're not having, like, you're not missing every single Sunday because you're having to do this children's church thing. It's intentionally built to give people that breathing space. And as best as she can, she tries to give you like the sort of the bones of the lesson and then lets you sort of build the meat out of it so that you're not even stressed about what you're going to teach about. She has the bare bones of it. And then you kind of get to use your personality about being creative about the, you know, what the craft is going to be, kind of what are we going to dig into a little bit more specifically. And that helps, I think, with burnout too. My pastor specifically, you know, anybody wants to know why I preach once a month, it's not because I'm like great at it. It's because he's like, I think you have a little gift of it, but I just need a minute. I just need a minute. I think he has so much stuff that he does that he's like, I need a break. And mm-hmm. I feel comfortable enough with you doing that so I can focus on some other task that week that I'm not able to on the other weeks. So I think building that in and knowing that about yourself is incredibly helpful. So that's a lot, but that's sort of the last of what I have there.
Yeah. And I think it's important. And something that you said kind of makes me cringe and chuckle at the same time, because you're right. And it was when you were about the struggle that a lot of pastors really are missing that time in prayer and in the word, which is the very exact reason in Acts that the deacons became a thing. because there was an issue, a ministry issue, and it says, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not pleasing to God for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this need, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the service of the word. That is actually the primary job of the elder and pastor office. It even more than the visiting, even more than just the relational stuff, the scripture seems to make clear there that if we're falling on, if we're fumbling the ball on this one, we're fumbling the ball on eldership in general. I would even say there probably are lots of false teachers who would agree that your sermons, your teaching, preaching ministry, even the teaching that you do inevitably when you're counseling or Bible study things or whatever, all of that is an outflow. It's an overflow of your own personal time with God and how you're growing in the knowledge of the Word. Your prayer time affects all of these things. And so if you're not devoted personally to prayer and to the Word, then your ministry in general is going to be not what God intended for the ministry to be. And so that would be, and maybe that's a good way to end it because like at the end of the day, that's where you start any of these things, because the scriptures are a mirror, right, for us to look into, to see the gospel, to be reassured of our faith, to help us make our calling and election sure as Christians, but also so that we can see pretty clearly the flaws and the dings that need to be worked out of the body, right, of ourselves. And if you're not personally in the Word, personally growing, personally walking through a Bible reading plan or whatever your thing is, and personally taking time to pray, and not just checking a box off, but actually engaging with God, then of course all this other stuff is going to be cumbersome and difficult.
Yeah, no, I think that is a great place to end. If a pastor can get so far on their personality and their own set of giftedness, but that's never going to be far enough in regards to the congregation. You're going to have to rely on the Lord, again, like you said, in prayer. And they've got to know you're a praying pastor in the Word, and they got to know you're in the Word, because again, ultimately it's not about your charisma or your personality or what you can do. It's inevitably about what God is going to do through you and how you utilize those gifts. So I think that's great, guys. Hopefully that was helpful to you. If it was, make sure you leave a like, make sure you share it with a pastor that maybe needs some encouragement, or if you're a new pastor, hopefully you did find that encouraging and helpful. And if so, again, make sure you like, share all that cool stuff. Leave a comment below, and we'll talk to you next time, won't we? We'll see you next month.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time, and you'll just be forced once again to listen to us next time. Hey, that's the Babbling Pastors Podcast.
We'll see you later. Bye.